Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
Good morning. Good morning, church. Happy Lord's Day po sa bawat isa. It is a joy and a privilege at the same time to gather together as a church to praise and worship the Lord. At this time, we'll study the Word of God. Mayroon po tayong mga Biblia. Buksan po natin sa Luke chapter 19. A very familiar story. Start in verse 1 down to verse 10. Tayo po itumayo. Basahin ko po sa ESB. He entered Jericho, referring to Jesus, and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May God bless the preaching of this word. Tayo po yung manalangin. Hindi natin yung basbas ng pag lalo natin maintindihan yung salita. Aming Diyos na dakila at banal, kami po ay patuloy na dumudulog sa inyo, O Lord, at nagpapakumbaba, O God. Dalangin po namin, O Diyos, na samahan mo kami sa aming pag-aaral ng iyong salita, O Diyos. Nawa, makita namin ang katotohanan dito at ma-apply namin sa aming upang sa ganun, O Father God Lord, yung worship na maibibigay namin sa iyo ay somehow magiging kagaya kay Zacchaeus, O Lord, na radical po yung pagsasamba na maibibigay sa iyo, O Diyos. So Lord, salamat po sa umagang ito, O Lord. I-bless mo yung time namin together in studying God's Word. Commit to you the rest of the time. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tayo po yung mga po. So yung pamagat po, na-entitled the sermon, Radical Worship. Radical also mean extravagant or lavish. No, but pinili ko po yung word na radical. No, because yung radical po carries the idea that our worship to God should be way different from the world or way different from what is normal. Now, yung word po na radical is that it carries the idea na yung pagsamba po natin sa Panginoon ay kakaiba po daw yung magsamba yung mundo. Or daw po magsamba yung karamihan sa mga Kristiyano sa time natin today. No? What is normal po sa time natin today is that we worship God out of our comfort and convenience. So, ganito po tayo daw yung magsamba sa Panginoon. We worship God out of our comfort and convenience. At ang bilis po natin i-give up yung pagsamba natin sa Panginoon pag nakaka-experience na tayo ng discomfort at saka inconvenience sa buhay. Ang bilis po natin i-give up yan. So, ito na po yung norm sa mga Kristiyano today. Now, because ang priority natin ay hindi talaga ang Panginoon. No, yung main thing sa buhay natin na hindi talaga yung Panginoon, kundi yung mga bagay po dito sa mundo. Yung ambition po natin, yung career po natin, yung family po natin, no, yung relationship natin. Doon po nakaikot yung mga buhay natin. Kaya, pag busy tayo sa buhay, no, wala tayong panahon para sa Panginoon. In fact, kung may time man tayo para sa Panginoon, minsan, hindi pa natin nagagamit para sambahin po natin yung Panginoon. Para sambahin po natin yung Panginoon. So, ito na po yung norm sa mga Kristiyano today. Ito na po normal the way we worship God. Kaya kung tayo as a church, hindi po tayo aware sa nangyayari sa kapaligiran natin, eventually, we will do the same. Magagaya din po tayo. That's why, yung katanungan na nais kong ma-address sa umagang ito is what keeps us from being radical in our worship to God? Anong magkikip sa atin from being radical in our worship to God? No, yung klaseng pagsamba na hindi po nakukonform sa mundo, kundi nakukonform po sa salita ng Panginoon. Or what compels us to be radical in our worship to God? No, because itong radical, hindi po ito siya, ito yung dapat para sa isang totoong mananampalataya kay Kristo, ito dapat yung worship na ibibigay niya sa Panginoon. Na ibibigay niya sa Panginoon. Kaya, for the past 3 weeks no, sa prayer meeting po natin, ito po yung question na ina-address natin. So, tinignan natin yung buhay po ni Apostle Pablo, ni Apostle Pedro, at saka yung pinakalas buhay po ni Prophet Isaiah. So, same thing din. As we approach this passage, itong sa story ni Luke, no, yun din po yung katanungan na nais nating ma-address. No? What compels sa chaos? Anong nag-uudyo kay sa chaos para magiging radical po siya sa pagsamba niya sa Panginoon? Or what made him change from being a worshiper of money to become a worshiper of God? So we will do it expositionally. So dinivide ko lang yung passage natin sa tatlong division. So in verse 1 to 7, Zacchaeus encountered Jesus. In verse 8, yung radical worship ni Zacchaeus, then yung pangatlo is yung 9 to 10, Jesus affirmed the salvation of Zacchaeus. So, let's read verse 1. So, in verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through. So, ito po yung time na si Jesus, after ministering throughout the provinces of Samaria and Galilee, he then set his journey back to Jerusalem. In fact, start in chapter 5. After niya umikot doon sa provinces of Samaria and Galilee, so, nakaset na yung mind niya, pabalik po sa Jerusalem. At in this chapter, chapter 19, no, week na lang bago po mangyari yung Passover. Because kailangan ni Jesus bago mag-Passover, andun na siya sa Jerusalem. So bago po siya makarating sa Jerusalem, madadaanan niya po itong Jericho. Na yung Jericho is located up to Jerusalem. Northeast ng Israel. Na 15 miles away from Jerusalem. Parang maglalakad ka ng isang araw na journey. Then ang Jericho po, yung lugar na Jericho, o yung city na Jericho, is known for their local products. Yung balsam tree. Yung ginagawang pabango. In the time of Jesus, many Bible scholars believe na yung Jericho po, kumbaga, tirahan to ng mga mayayaman because ang ganda ng weather doon. Pag tinglamig, hindi ganun ka-init. No, tang init, hindi rin ganun ka-init. Kung taglamig, hindi po ganun kalamig. Kung tag-init, no, hindi rin po ganun ka-init. Kaya nga, si King Herod, no, nagtayo siya ng palasyo doon. Then, aside po yung Jericho na talagang livable siya na place, na kung ikaw mayaman, kagaya ni Zacchaeus, gusto ko manirahan doon. Ang ganda ng klaseng community na meron yung Jericho. But aside po na yung Jericho is livable place, no? Itong Jericho, strategic road po siya, trade road. Strategic trade road po. Pag pupunta ka ng Damascus to the north, Madadaanan yun. Pagpupunta ka ng Jerusalem to the west, madadaanan din yun. Pagpupunta ka ng south, papuntang Egypt, madadaanan yun. At kung pupunta ka ng east, papuntang Jordan, madadaanan siya. So, kumbaga, si Zacchaeus, siguro, nagtayo siya ng booth doon, tax collector. No? Na pag lahat ng may dumadaan, sisingilin niya ng tax. So, kaya, no wonder na si Zacchaeus is doon din siya nakatira. Doon din siya nakatira. So, a livable place, a strategic route. So, itong Jericho na to, so, no wonder na si Zacchaeus doon nakatira din. In verse 2, we are told na kung sino po si Zacchaeus. First description kay Zacchaeus, sabi rito, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Unang description po, he was a chief tax collector. Now, Zacchaeus, hindi lang siya ordinaryong tax collector. He is the chief tax collector. The chief tax collector po, siya po yung, in that region, siya po yung mayor or chief tax collector. Ibig sabihin, may mga subordinate siya na nangangulik na rin ng buwes. Kumbaga, ibig sabihin, mas malaking commission. Malawang description kay Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was a rich. No wonder. Nagtaka ka na, ayak niya pala. Sabi nito, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Was rich. So probably, many Bible scholars believe na probably yung wealth ni Zacchaeus is nanggagaling sa pangungulikta niya ng buwes. Bigyan ko lang kunting background. So, ang Israel at the time, nasakop sila ng Roma, ng Roman Empire. So, para ma-maintain po ng Roman Empire yung prestige and power. Because, para maran, ma-preserve mo yung power at saka prestige ng Roman, is kailangan mo ng big money para pasahurin yung vast army mo o yung mga tao mo. Kaya ang ginagawa ng Romans, sa lahat ng nasasakop nilang bansa, mag-iimpose sila ng tax. No? Like for example lang, kung masakop tayo ng China, mag-iimpose ang China sa atin ng tax. Pero ang Romans, hindi naman nila alam pasikot-sikot sa Israel or sa Jericho. Kaya ang gagawin ng Romans is mag-hire ako ng locals. No? Si Zacchaeus, hinire nila. At ito naman si Zacchaeus, mukhang pera. No, walang pakialam. Na, basta, gusto kong yumaman. So, nag-employ siya at nagiging tax collector siya. Palit-liit lang na tao, pero innovative, no? Creative. Then, ito pa yung isang ano ng mga Romans. Ang mga Romans, wala po silang pakialam. Kung ikaw tax collector, maniningil ka ng sobra-sobra. Kaya nga, in chapter 3, sabi ni John the Baptist, may mga tax collector na lumapit po sa kanya, sabi ni John the Baptist sa kanila na tax, sabi, collect no more than you are authorized. So, sabi lang ni John the Baptist sa kanila, huwag kayong maningil ng sobra-sobra kung anong inanulang. Sabi kasi ang Romans, again, wala pong pakialam kung maningil ka ng sobra. Parang ganito ginagawa ng mga Romans. Mag-impose lang ako sa'yo na ganitong amount. Like for example, annually sa Zacchaeus, magbigay ka sa akin ng 10 million. Ano lang natin. Wala akong pakialam kung makulikta ka more than 10 million. Kung makakulikta si Zacchaeus ng 20 million, saan mapupunta yung 10 million? Sa bulsa ni Zacchaeus. Ha? Sa bulsa ni Zacchaeus. Kaya, probably, yung wealth ni Zacchaeus nanggagaling po sa sobra-sobra na paniningil po niya ng tax. Kaya that's why in verse 8, he confessed na if I defrauded anyone anything, for sure, because in the original Greek word, wala dong F. No? Sabi niya, is payback. Is that malamang sa malamang, excessive or sobra-sobra po yung pangungulikta po ni Zacchaeus ng tax. Kaya nga yung mga Israelites, na yung mga tax collector is a bad image po sa kanila. Talagang itong mga tao, itong mga corrupt. No? Willing yung dignidad nila masira, basta lang yumaman. No? Kaya ang tawag sa kanila is sinners. Kaya in verse 8, In verse 7, sabi ng mga tao na kapaligid doon, so bakit si Jesus pumasok doon sa isang taong makasalanan? No? Isang taong makasalanan. So ganun po yung description kay Zacchaeus. Chief tax collector at mayaman na tao. At again, na hindi man implied dito na hindi man explicit dito na yung yaman ni Zacchaeus is nagagaling sa pangungulikta ng tax sobra-sobra, but no, makikita natin dito somehow study throughout the book of Luke na itong kayamanan ni Zacchaeus is nagagaling doon sa sobra-sobrang pangungulikta niya. Then, in verse 3, we see Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. Well, maintindihan natin because si Zacchaeus, kagaya lang din sa rest of mga Israelite na curious sila kung sino tong Kristo na to. Sino tong Jesus na to. Because Jesus at the time is popular na. Nagpapagaling ng may sakit, nagbubuhay ng patay, nagpapakain ng 5,000 ng mga tao. At the same time, nagtuturo ng salita ng Panginoon at kiniklaim niya pa na siya yung Diyos. So even itong Zacchaeus na to, kahit hindi siya religious na tao, no? Interesado ding makilala si Kristo. Lalo siguro kung nalaman nito ni Zacchaeus na itong Jesus na to, kakaiba siya sa lahat ng mga nagtuturo ng Word of God. No, because si Luke pinoportray ni Jesus, si Luke pinoportray niya si Jesus na friend of sinners na nakipaghalubilo sa mga tax collectors, sa mga makasalanan. Kaya even si Luke din na makasalanan, outcast sa Israel, is that interesado din siyang makilala po ito si Jesus. No? Pero, ang problema po ni Zacchaeus is that, dalawa niyang problema. First, he cannot get through, sabi rito, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not. So, hindi niya makita si Jesus because maliit siya. No? Maliit siya. Tumawa kayo kung sinasabi ko maliit. Because he was small in stature. Pero palit-liit lang po si Zacchaeus, yung height niya hindi po hindrance na para makita niya si Kristo. Kaya in verse 4, ito po yung ginawa niya. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. So itong Zacchaeus na to, palit-liit lang. So ginawa niya, nakahanap ako ng paraan. So tumakyat po siya dun sa puno, itong sycamore tree. Hindi po natin alam kung anong klaseng puno to, but for sure, no, kaya itong, kung pag-aakyat ka, kaya kang, yung bigat mo, kaya niyang dalhin. Because pagdating ni Jesus, naka-look up si Jesus sa kanya. No? Then, many Bible scholars believe na itong, nag-argue sila, na ito bang action ni Zacchaeus? He ran and climbed up in a sycamore tree is work ng Holy Spirit sa buhay niya. Nag-prompt yung Holy Spirit sa kanya na gawin nito. Because sa mga tradition po ng mga Israelites or mga Hudyo, no, yung tatay, pag matanda ka na, lalo na pag tatay ka, hindi ka dapat tatakbo. No, at mas lalo hindi ka dapat aakyat sa puno. No, sa time po nila. Kumbaga, undignified ito sa time nila. No, hindi acceptable sa community nila. Kaya itong ginawa ni Zacchaeus is undignified ako. Many Bible scholars suggest din na wala naman ding masisira na kay Zacchaeus, sira na yung pangalan niya. But ano mang katotohanan doon, what is clear emphasis dito na more than Zacchaeus na gusto niyang makita si Jesus, ito si Jesus, no? Mas gusto niyang magkaroon ng personal na relasyon po si Zacchaeus sa kanya. Why I see that? Two things po. Point out natin dito in verse 5. One, no? Jesus called Zacchaeus by his name. In verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, this is the first time na si Jesus nakatagpo niya to si Zacchaeus. Then, you ask the question, paano niya nakilala si Zacchaeus? Now, throughout the book of Luke, hindi po natin alam. Marami nagsuggest baka no, isa sa mga disciples ni Jesus na isang tax collector din, si Matthew, in-invite si Zacchaeus. baka boss niya yun si si Zacchaeus. Now, but hindi po sinabi ni Locke dito. Si Locke, hindi po interested. But alam po natin na si Jesus is all-knowing. No omniscient. Alam niya po ang bawat isa sa atin. And for sure. No? But, pag yung Bible po, no, na minimension yung pangalan mo, tinatawag yung pangalan mo ng Panginoon, ibig sabihin lang po nun, nais ng Panginoon na makipag-relasyon sa'yo. Nais ng makipag-ugnayan po sa atin. For example, in the New Testament, sa buhay po ni Apostle Pablo, na yung time na si Apostle Pablo papuntang Damascus, so biglang binulagan siya ni Jesus at tinawag siya ni Jesus. No, Saul, hindi pa siya Pablo at the time. Bakit mo ako pinersecute? At makita natin later on, no? Na because yun yung way ng Panginoon para magkaroon ng personal na relasyon si Pablo kay Kristo. Kay Kristo. Then in the Old Testament, na when si Moses andun sa Mount of Horeb, nagpapastol ng mga tupa niya, biglang nag-affirm sa kanya ang Panginoon, nag-appear sa kanya ang Panginoon, at tinawag yung pangalan niya. Now, so throughout the Bible, makikita natin, pag tinatawag yung isang person sa pangalan niya ng Panginoon, ibig sabihin nun, yung Panginoon po, nais mo kay pag-relasyon sa tao na yun. So, more than that, but in yung sinabi rito, pangalawa, Jesus stayed at the house of Zacchaeus. Sabi rito, and when Jesus came to the place, look, in verse 5, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and came down. Ito yung word, for I must stay at your house today. For I must stay at your house today. Yung word na must. Hindi po sinasuggest lang ni Jesus, Zacchaeus, baba ka dyan. Punta ako sa bahay mo. Kung gusto mo lang. Sabi po ni Jesus, Zacchaeus, bumaba ka dyan because nais kong pumunta sa bahay mo. No, at sa panahon po nila, no, pag ikaw as a person pupunta sa bahay, makipagkain ka, matulog ka doon, no, ibig sabihin po no, na nais mo makipag-associate, makipag-relasyon, makipag-ugnayan dun sa tao na yun. So kaya, ito po yung reason bakit si Jesus mas gusto niyang makilala at magkaroon ng personal na relasyon si Zacchaeus sa kanya. No? Pero, pagdating natin ng verse 6, in verse 6, makita natin yung response ni Zacchaeus. It is, instead na si Zacchaeus, ang daming question, bakit Lord ako? Sa dami ng tao dito sa Jericho, bakit ako talaga yung napili mo? Hindi mo ba alam na ang mga tao dito sa Jericho, ang turing nila sa akin, isang traidor, isang makasalanan, pero ikaw, gusto mong makipag-fellowship sa akin, gusto mong makipag-associate sa akin? No, but, tingnan natin yung response ni Zacchaeus in verse 6, sabi ni Zacchaeus, so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. No, he hurried and came down and he received him joyfully. But yung problema po, yung crowds, or specifically yung mga Pharisees, hindi po nila nagustuhan yung ginawa ni Jesus. No? Na nakipag-hanubilo siya kay Zacchaeus. Na pumasok siya sa bahay ni Zacchaeus, na nag-stay siya sa bahay ni Zacchaeus. In verse 7, sabi rito, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. No, who is a sinner. So, ang response ni Zacchaeus is he received Jesus joyfully, but itong mga Pharisees na to, no, specifically mga Pharisees daw yun, is that they are grumbled dun sa nakita nila. Because hindi to pwede. Ikaw kilala ng man of God, nagtuturo ng salita ng Panginoon, ini-entertain mo ang isang known na sinner. Isang taong makasalanan. No, scandalize yun para sa kanila. But well, naintindihan natin, because pagkikilala nila kay Jesus is just ordinaryo na tagaturo lang ng salita ng Panginoon. But kakaiba somehow kay Zacchaeus. Because somehow si Zacchaeus, no, Nung nakita niya siguro si Kristo, ito na yung sinasabi ng Old Testament. The coming Savior, the coming Messiah. Na, wala mang specific text na makita natin, but kung pupunta natin ng verse 8, tinawag niya si Jesus as Lord, Lokorios, the Supreme Being. Kaya, kakaiba si Zacchaeus dun sa mga crowd. Ang crowd, tingin lang nila, si Jesus ay kagaya nila, ordinaryong nagtuturo ng salita. Somehow, si Zacchaeus is nakita niya na si Kristo ay isang Diyos. At itong encounter ni Zacchaeus kay Jesus brought transformation sa buhay po ni Zacchaeus and resulted to a radical worship. Ito po yung turning point ni Zacchaeus. Na yung encounter niya with Jesus, ito po yung turning point ni Zacchaeus na from worshiper of money to a worshiper of God. In verse 8. No? Na ang result nito is radical worship po para kay Zacchaeus. Two things po, bakit ko sinabi na radical po yung worship ni Zacchaeus. Now, one is that Zacchaeus is willing to give up half of his wealth. Now, kalahati mo ng kayamanan ni Zacchaeus, gusto niyang ipamigay. Sabi rito, and Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, no, yung word na Lord, sinabi niya natin, is curious. Sabi niya, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. Goods dito na re-refer sa wealth po ni Zacchaeus, sa kayamanan ni Zacchaeus. Parang sabi ni Zacchaeus, Lord, kalahati po ng kayamanan ko ay ipamimigay ko. Ipamimigay ko po. Hindi po, Lord, kalahati ng makumisyon ko, ibigay ko sa mahirap. Kalahati po ng kayamanan ko. Lahat ng wealth ni Zacchaeus at ang kalahati doon, ibibigay na po sa mahirap. No? At sabi ng mga Bible scholars, itong action na ginawa ni Zacchaeus is radical. Because sa time po nila, diba, nire-required ka lang mag-tithes is 10%. Na in that time. Kaya sabi ng mga Bible scholars, if you double your tithes, 20% in the Old Testament, makukonsidered ka na na-generous. But kay Zacchaeus, hindi lang 20%, bagos 50%. So, half of his wealth, so, ibibigay niya po, willing niyang mawala. So, makita po natin na yung klaseng pagsamba na binibigay ni Zacchaeus is nag-i-exceed beyond doon sa culture nila. Beyond doon what is norm. Na? Sa community or sa time nila. Kasi Zacchaeus, pinapakita niya rito na radical yung worship na ibibigay niya sa Panginoon. So, pangalawang reason is that Zacchaeus exceeded to what the law required. In the last part, sabi rito, so kalahati ng kayamanan ni Zacchaeus, ibibigay niya sa mahirap. Then continue, sabi niya, and I have defrauded anyone of anything, sabi niya, I restored it fourfold. I-restore ko ng fourfold. No, in the law of Moses, no, yung extortion po, yung pagnanakaw, pag, no, kinukonvict ka ng Panginoon at gusto mong mag-confess, ang nire-required lang sa law ni Moses is that ibalik mo lang yung amount plus damage 20%. Now, like for example, nakanakaw ka ng 1 million. So ibalik mo lang yung 1 million plus 20% ng 1 million is 1.2 million na babalik mo dun sa ninakawan mo. In Leviticus chapter 6, basahin natin, start in verse 1 down to 5. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, if anyone sins and commit a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, in any of all the things that the people do and sin thereby, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression, or by deposit that was committed to him, or the lost thing that he found, or anything about which he has sworn falsely, dito, sabi niya, he shall restore it in full. Kung ano yung amount na yun, i-restore mo lang full. Yung sabi nito, and shall add a fifth. Ang a fifth dito is equivalent to 20% nung sa amount na yun. To it and give to him to whom belongs on the day he realized his guilt. So makikita natin, nung sinabi ni Zacchaeus, Lord, I restored it fourfold. No? Nag-exceed si Zacchaeus beyond doon sa kung anong nire-require sa law nila. So, again, radical po yung response ni Zacchaeus sa worship niya sa Panginoon. No? In fact, kung ma-realize natin dito or talagang titingnan natin dito, pinupoint out talaga nito ni Lucas that si Zacchaeus willing i-give up yung kayamanan niya para lang maipakita niya yung pagsamba niya sa Panginoon. Bakit ko nasabi yan? Balikan natin yung verse 8. Sabi rito ni Luke, and Zacchaeus stood up and said, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. Example, si Zacchaeus may 10 million na nasa bangko. Half of his goods, half of kalahati ng 10 million is 5 million. Ibigay niya sa mahirap. Then sabi niya, if I have defrauded anyone anything, I restore it fourfold. At kung nakaloko man daw siya, naka-extort siya, ibabalik niya ng fourfold. Like for example, nakaloko siya ng 2 million, i-times 4 mo, 8 million. So may utang pa sa Kiyos na 3 million. So pinapalabas lang ni Luke dito na itong sa Kiyos na to, willing siyang i-give up yung kayamanan na naghahad lang sa kanya before para makilala si Kristo or sa pagsamba sa Panginoon para lang no, ma-express yung pagsamba niya sa Panginoon. So because si Luke, kinukontrast na itong story na to in Luke chapter 18, dun sa rich young ruler. No? Na yung rich young ruler, lumapit po kay Kristo at sinabi niya, paano ko ma-inherit yung eternal life? Sabi ni Jesus, ginawa mo itong commandments na to. Ginawa daw niya, ginawa. Sabi, isa pa yung kulang. Anong kulang? Ibinta mo yung kayamanan mo, ipamigay mo sa mahirap, at sumunod ka sa akin. The emphasis is, sumunod ka sa akin. Because ang kayamanan mo ang naghahad lang para lumapit sa akin. No? Ibinta mo to sa akin. But nakita natin, nalungkot siya because sobrang niyang yamin. But dito, pinapakita dito, na pag isang tao tutong na-experiensahan yung grasya ng Panginoon, willing siya i-give up yung mga bagay na naghahad lang sa kanya para ipakita niya yung pagsamba niya po sa Panginoon. Mahirap naman talaga i-give up yung mga bagay. Lalo na yung mga bagay na talagang love na natin. Because in our sinfulness, mas makita natin yung sarili natin na mas mapahalagahan natin itong mga bagay na ito kaysa sa Panginoon. Kaya, in the case of Zacchaeus, kailangan niya muna makatagpo si Kristo. Or in the case of us, no, in any case na wala pa tayong Kristo sa buhay. No, tapos, itataka tayo, bakit itong mga taong to talagang they spend their time in Sunday to go to church? And they spend their time reading Bibles, attending small groups. Itataka tayo. Is that kung may isang bagay man, bakit nagagawa namin ito is that because we experience the grace of God through the person of Christ. At itong grace ng Panginoon nag-uudyok sa amin para ibigay din namin yung buhay namin sa Panginoon. No, kagaya ni Zacchaeus. Si Zacchaeus, never sa vocabulary niya, kung di sila nagtatagpo ni Kristo na sambahin po ang Panginoon, magiging radical po sa pagsamba niya sa Panginoon. No? So, itong radical worship ni Zacchaeus, manifestation lang to, that he truly experienced the saving grace of God through the person of Christ. That's why in verse 9 to 10, inaffirm po ni Jesus yung salvation ni Zacchaeus. Sabi po ni Jesus dito, and Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. No? Jesus affirmed na Zacchaeus received salvation, found salvation in Christ, obtained salvation in Christ. No? Then, since he also is a son of Abraham, hindi po ibig sabihin ni Jesus dito dahil si Zacchaeus ay isang Hudyo na angkan din siya ni Abraham, ay automatic na po na ligtas na siya or saved na siya. Yes, it is true in the Old Testament, no, in Genesis chapter 17, God promised to Abraham and to his offspring, an eternal covenant. But the New Testament interpreted it na itong offspring na to is nire-refer po sa mga believers. Na si Christ ang offspring doon, tapos kung tayo'y mananampalataya kay Kristo, magiging offspring na rin tayo ni Abraham. At tayo po yung mga believers ang nire-refer doon. Kaya kung puntahan natin yung Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say unto offsprings, from plural to singular, referring to many but referring to one, unto your offspring who is Christ. Then pag-jump ka sa verse 26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God, through faith. Na magiging anak ka ng Panginoon, magiging offspring ka ni Abraham, through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for all are one in Christ. If you are Christ, din sabi nito, then you are Abraham's offspring. A lot of passages pa, no? But it's clear. So yung offspring dito is si Christ, at kung tayo mananampalataya kay Kristo, yung offspring na rin po tayo ni Abraham. Parang ang sabi lang ni Jesus kay Zacchaeus, yung sinabi niya that today salvation has come to this house since he is also a son of Abraham. Itong Zacchaeus na to came to know kung sino po siya. At nananampalataya din siya kay Kristo. Hindi man natin alam kung in the middle because si Luke silent kung anong conversation ang nangyari. No, pumasok si Jesus sa bahay nila, nagkainan sila, or siniran ba ni Jesus ng gospel si Zacchaeus? And explain ba ni Jesus, no? Start from Revelation to Malakay. Wala pa silang New Testament at the time. Na the focal point story of the scripture is about me. It's about the redemptive work of God through the person of Christ. For sure. No? For sure. But si Luke, nakafocus siya dun sa action rather than sa faith ni Zacchaeus, but dun sa action po ni Zacchaeus. So, again, si Zacchaeus, hindi dahil physical descendant siya ni Abraham, automatic saved siya. Kailangan din niya na manampalataya po kay Kristo kagaya natin para magkaroon siya ng kaligtasan. Because kung ang kaligtasan po ay true blood, not by faith, then yung statement ni Jesus in verse 10, na which is, ito yung climax ng book ni Luke sa sulat niya, yung verse 10, for the Son of Man came here on earth for what purpose? To seek and save the lost. So ito po yung essence ng gospel, ng isang Diyos na naglikha sa atin, isang Diyos na banal. No? Isang Diyos na banal, no? Hinahanap na po yung taong makasalanan, yung elect people, electioners, para iligtas na po sa pamamagitan ni Kristo. None of us came to know Jesus and believe in Him kung hindi po tayo kinatagpo ng Panginoon. No? Because in Romans chapter 3 is clear. Chapter 3 verse 10. Sabi po ng salita ng Panginoon, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Then, no one understand, no one seeks for God. No one seeks for God. All, no, hindi lang some, all have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Throughout the storyline of the Bible, itong katotohanan na to na God is seeking and saving sinners, no, is a fundamental and profound truth po throughout the Bible. Start ko lang in Genesis chapter 3. Nung nagkasala po si Adam at saka si Eva, ano pong ginawa ni Adam at ni Eva nung nagkasala sila? Pre-present ba nila yung sarili nila? Lord, nagkasala kami. Paano kami mapapatawad? Ang ginawa nila, nagtago sila. No, kung di sila hinanap ng Panginoon, hindi sila lumabas at magpakita sa Panginoon. No? In the case of Abraham, bago siya tinawag ng Panginoon para pumunta sa land of Canaan, andun siya sa Ur, sa Chaldeans. No? ang Chaldeans, mga Chaldeans, sinasamba nila yung moon and sun. In the case of Moses, sarap na ng buhay ni Moses. No? May asawa, may anak, at nagtatrabaho, nagpapastol. Wala siyang pakialam kung naghihirap yung mga Israelite sa Egypt. Nag-appeared sa kanya ang Panginoon. No? Mga disciples ni Jesus, si Pedro, busy ka papangisda, kundi siya tinawag ng Panginoon para sumama sa kanya. Si Apostle Pablo himself. So makita natin throughout the storyline of the Bible na wala pong sinners na naghahanap sa Panginoon. Ang Panginoon po yung naghahanap sa taong makasalanan para iligtas na. Sabi ko, none of us. In fact, kung hindi tayo pinatagpo ng Panginoon, hinanap ng Panginoon, hindi tayo nandito ngayon para sambahin po yung Panginoon. Diba pag tinatanong tayo ng nanay natin yung maliliit pa tayo, anak, paglaki mo, anong gusto mo maging? Hindi natin sasagutin yung nanay. Nay, paglaki gusto ko, present ako lagi sa church every Sunday. No, paglaki gusto ko, magbasa ako araw-araw ng Bible. Paglaki ko, gusto ko, mag-attend ako every week ng small group. Or mag-commit ako in the ministry. Wala po ni isa sa akin, even ako. No, in my own testimony. Kahit laki ako, Christian family, wala po sa vocabulary ko. And my high school and college days, stranger po ako sa church. Until ay pumunta ako ng Maynila. Na? Ang plan ko pagpunta ng Maynila, hindi pa pagpunta doon para i-disciple ako ni Pastor Enteng. Magkaroon ng trabaho. Na? Magkaroon ng magandang pamilya, magkaasawa, magkaroon ng pamilya, at i-enjoy yung buhay. Ang point ko lang is that wala pong sa vocabulary natin na talagang hanapin ang Panginoon, kundi ang Panginoon ang naghanap sa atin. At iligtas tayo, baguhin tayo, then kung totoo na experiensahan natin yung grasya niya sa mga buhay natin, magpuproduce po ito ng radical worship sa mga buhay po natin. So back tayo sa story ni Zacchaeus. I-sum up natin. So si Zacchaeus, who is known as a sinner, a worshipper of money, encountered the Lord Jesus. And his encounter with Jesus brought transformation in his life, resulting to a radical worship. Resulting to a radical worship. Or yung katanungan na tinanong natin kanina, what caused the change in the life of Zacchaeus from a worshipper of money to a worshipper of God? His encounter with Jesus. Another question, what compels Zacchaeus to be radical in his worship to God? His encounter with Jesus. So yung point lang po ng passage sa pinag-aralan natin is that experiencing the saving grace of God through Christ produces radical worship. If we truly experience the saving grace of God through Christ, then it will produce radical worship po sa mga buhay natin. No, kung totoo natin na-experiencehan po yung grasya ng Panginoon, yung saving grace ng Panginoon, isang resulta po nito is magiging radical po tayo sa pagsamba natin sa Panginoon. No. Ito po yung pinapoint out ni Luke. No, quickly, puntahan natin yung Luke 5 kasi similar din to sa story ni Zacchaeus. Same lang din yung emphasis ni Luke. Because si Luke nais niyang na throughout this letter of book of Luke, na nais nang maintindihan natin na if you truly encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, you truly experience the saving grace of God, it produces in you a transformed lives and resulto sa radical worship. So, Luke chapter 5, verse 1 down to 11. Quick lang. So in verse 1 to 7, na-encounter ni Pedro si Jesus. Habang si Jesus nagpipreach at si Pedro naglilinis ng lambat. So, nakatagpo niya si Jesus. Basahin natin. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret. And he saw tow boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon, si Pedro, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So, umupo si Kristo dun sa bangka para mag-preach siya, marinig ng tao kasi tinutulak na siya ng mga tao. Then, after niya mag-preach, inutusan niya to si Pedro. Take note, umaga na to. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Sabi ni Jesus kay Pedro, Pedro, bumalik ka ulit sa laot at mangisda ka. Na? In verse 5, hesitant po si Pedro sumunod kay Kristo, sabi rito. And Simon answered, Master. Tanda niyo yung tawag ni Pedro kay Jesus is Master. Sabi niya, we told all that at took nothing, exclamation point. Parang sabi ba ni Pedro, Lord, Master, sabi niya, buong gabi kaming magdamag ng huli ng isda, pero wala kaming nahuli. Umaga pa kaya natirek yung araw, makakahuli kami ng isda. Ha? But at your word, pero respect niya kay Jesus, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Then, they signaled to their partners in the boat, in the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and filled the boat so that they began to sink. Then in verse 8, yung realization ni Pedro sa nangyari, sabi nga rito in verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, the key word here is saw it, na fully aware na si Pedro kung anong nangyayari. Na? Si Mark kasi, si Gospel of Mark, sabi ni Mark, itong encounter ni Jesus at saka ni Pedro, pangalawa na to. Ang unang encounter nila nung pinagaling ni Jesus yung mother-in-law ni Pedro sa Mark chapter 1. Na kaya, siguro at that time, hindi agad na recognize ni Pedro kung sino si Kristo. But at this time na, yung catch of the fish. Biro mo pa naman, si Pedro, two of his life experience na maging isda. Pag sinasabi niyang walang huli, wala talagang huli ngayon. But for the first time, direct yung araw ng isda sa, nakahuli siya ng isda. At sa itong Kristo na kinumanda ko, mga isda doon, hindi lang ordinaryong tao. Na? Isa itong Diyos. Kaya unang realization ni Pedro, si Kristo ay isang Diyos. In verse 8, usahin natin, in verse 8. In verse 5, anong tawag ni Pedro kay Jesus? Master. In verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, Lord. Depart from me, for I am sinful man. Oh, Lord. Biglang nag-iba yung paningin niya, pananaw niya kay Jesus. Itong Jesus na nag-command sa akin, nagpagaling dun sa mother-in-law ko, hindi lang pala ordinary yung Jesus na. Isang Diyos. Na may kapangyarihang sabihan ng isda, pahuli kayo kay Pedro. Paalam ang realization ni Pedro, si Pedro ay isang makasalanan, sabi niya. In verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am sinful. Now, we don't know kung anong kasalanan na kinumpis ni Pedro kay Jesus. Na? Sabi ng mga Bible scholars, because si Pedro, sabi nga, pangalawang experience na to ni Pedro at saka ni Jesus, baka hindi nga agad na-recognize si Kristo at hindi sa sumunod kay Kristo. Late disobedience. But hindi po interesado si Luke doon. Because ang para kay Luke, kung ikaw ma-expose ka sa isang Diyos na banal, makikita mo kung gaano ka makasalanan. Makita mo yung gospel dito. Makita ni Luke, kabanalan ni Kristo, makita niya yung pagiging makasalanan niya. At ang pangatong realization ni Pedro, hindi siya karapat-dapat sa presensya ng banal na Diyos. Kaya sabi niya, depart from me. Bakit sasabihin niya si Jesus, depart from me? Sa intindihan ni Pedro na hindi siya karapat-dapat sa presensya po ng Panginoon. Hindi po good news para sa atin ang isang tao makasalanan ma-expose isang tao sa isang Diyos na banal. It's a bad news. Because galit po ang Diyos sa isang tao makasalanan. So, hindi po blessing ang dadanasin natin, kundi kaparosahan. Kaya nga, pagdating natin sa chapter 10, takot na takot si Pedro. Sabi ni Pedro, in verse 10, sabi ni Jesus, do not be afraid. And the good thing is that kinumpert siya ni Jesus. No? So a picture of the gospel. You see the holiness of God, nakita niya yung sinfulness niya, at nakita niya yung grace ng Panginoon sa buhay niya. At ano yung result in verse 11? And when they had brought their nets, their boats to the land. Anong sinabi? They left everything. They left everything and followed him. Iniwan niya yung bangka. Iniwan niya yung lambat. At sumunod kay Kristo. Yes, kulin niyo ni Apostle Pedro. Na? May kanya-kanya ito yung panawagan sa buhay. But yung implication lang is clear. Na kung totoo ma-experience ka natin yung grasya po ng Panginoon, na yung saving grace ng Panginoon sa mga buhay nito, magre-resulta po to ng radical worship po sa mga buhay natin. Same thing din sa buhay ni Luke, sa buhay ni Zacchaeus. Ito yung nais na i-emphasize sa book ni Luke, na pag isang tao, kahit sino ka mang Herodes na makasalanan ka, kung totoo mong ma-experience yung grasya ng Panginoon sa pamagitan kay Kristo, magdudulot ito ng pagbabago. At isang kapatunayan na may pagbabago sa puso mo ay radical po yung pagsamba na ibibigay mo sa Panginoon. Na hindi lang po natin sambahin ang Panginoon, sabi ko kagaya po sa mga Kristiyano sa time natin today, na we worship God out of our convenience and comfort. Pag hindi na tayo inconvenience na tayo, discomfort na tayo sa pagsasamba natin sa Panginoon, we'll easily give up. Huh? So, ito po yung nais ni Luke na maintindihan natin. Experiencing the saving grace of God through Christ produces radical worship. Or, our right understanding of the biblical gospel, sabihin ko, right understanding. Because I know you understand the gospel. Pagsasabihin ko sa inyo, what is the gospel? Ma-articulate nito. God is holy. Man is sinners. No? At wala pong ibang kapamaraan, isang tao makasalanan, maligtas, kundi sa pamamagitan kay Kristo. At ang tugon lamang po natin ay pananampalataya para magkaroon tayo ng kapatawaran sa ating makasalanan. Alam niyo po yun. No? Kaya sabi ko nga, right understanding. Hindi lang understand the gospel. Right understanding. Because right understanding of the biblical gospel produces in us a radical worship. No? So yung question natin earlier, what compels us or motivates us to be radical in our worship to God? Yung gospel po. No? The same gospel that saves us is the same gospel that will empower us to be radical in our obedience or worship sa Panginoon. Lastly, titingnan natin po yung 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9-10. Makita mo yung plea of words na ginagamit dito ni Apostle Pablo na ini-emphasize na sa atin. The same grace that saves us is the same grace that will empower us to be radical in our obedience or worship sa Panginoon. Sabi nito. Start in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. We're referring nun sa pre-conversion ni Apostle Pablo, na yung trabaho niya is na mamamatay ng Kristiyano bago niya na-encounter si Kristo dun sa Damascus Road. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am saved by the grace of God. I am called to be apostle by the grace of God. Then, what about the grace of God? Sabi niya, and His grace toward me was not in vain. Why this grace is not in vain? Aside, it can save us. Sabi, in contrary, I work harder than any of them. Sabi niya, sa lahat sa kanila, nire-refer niya lahat ng mga apostle, mas nahigitan ko yung nagawa nila. Alam naman natin, 13 books ang nasulat ni Apostle Pablo. Naikot niya yung buong Roman Empire to preach the gospel, na persecute siya. Nakulong siya 2 times. Ha? Kaya yun yung sinasabi niya, I work harder than any of them. And why? Sabi niya, though it was not I, but by the grace of God that is in me. So sabi niya po sa Pablo, the same grace that saved me is the same grace that empowered me to be radical in my obedience in worship to God. Kaya, what kept us from becoming radical in our worship to God. Na hindi tayo magaya po the way yung meaning of presence to the worship God is that the gospel. No? The key to be radical in our worship or obedience to God is the gospel. Let me say in this way, our understanding of the gospel fuels our worship. That the more we know the gospel, the more we become radical in our worship to God. So then, if the gospel is the key, then we need to know and deepen our understanding of the gospel. The church again. If we don't want to be like the many Christians in our own today that worship God out of their convenience, out of their comfort, then we need to labor individually and corporately to know and to deepen our understanding of the gospel. In another word, we must and we need to central the gospel sa mga buhay po natin, sa iglesia po natin, kung nais natin na yung pagsamba na may bibigay natin sa mundo ay hindi kagaya sa mundo, kundi ayon po yung pagsamba na sinasabi po sa salita ng Panginoon. Tayo po yung manalangin. Lord, we thank you and bless you for reminding us of your word, O God, Lord. Yes, it is not normal for us, O God, Lord, to be radical in our worship to you, O Diyos, because as simple as we are, O God, as weak as we are, O Lord, mas nakikita namin yung sarili namin na pinupurso namin yung mga bagay dito sa mundo kaysa ikaw, O Lord. Mas pinapahalagahan namin yung mga bagay dito sa mundo kaysa ikaw, O Father God, Lord. Kaya dalangin po namin na totoo namin ma-experiensahan yung grasya mo sa pamagitan ni Kristo, O Lord. Totoo namin maintindihan to, katotohanan na to, O Diyos, upang itong isang bagay na mag-uudyok sa amin, bakit magiging radical kami sa pagsamba namin sa inyo, O Diyos. Salamat po, O God, sa iyong salita. You continually, O Father God, Lord, work in our hearts, work in our lives, O Father God, Lord. Deepen our understanding of the gospel, O Jesus. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.